All right, you may turn, please, to Matthew 14, I believe. No, it isn't. It's Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6. Now, we're not going there right away, but eventually we'll get there, all right? And that's where we'll spend a good part of the time. So you go there now, all right? And I'll give you a moment to get there. Okay?
What book of Bible?
Matthew. I have a New King James. That's what I took this from. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we're so thankful for this time we have to gather around your word. Lord, we know that your word is the most valuable word, the most profitable word that's in existence today in the world. So Lord, help us to heed your word, to guard it like it's gold and silver in our life, Lord. Because it's worth far more than that in our relationship with you and how it teaches us to love you, to love others, and to help with your kingdom, giving the gospel and inviting others into your kingdom. And then the Holy Spirit can do his job and get in their hearts and really get them in the kingdom. So Lord, we're so thankful tonight we can gather around your word. We give you praise in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, prayer is essential to a believer's life. If you're going to talk, you have to whisper. You got to really whisper. Because the acoustics in this room are great, okay? If you think singing in the shower is awesome, just come in here and start singing, all right? All right, prayer is essential to the believer's life. But what is prayer? Have you ever thought about that? What is prayer? Well, it's essential for us to know, if we're going to know what prayer is, to know what it is not. Yes, what it is not. So, prayer is not praying to an angel. We do not pray to angels. In the first place, if an angel appeared and you began praying to him, if he was an angel of God, he would stop you and tell you that your praise goes to God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't go to angels. So he would stop you. And if he didn't stop you, that would be your clue that you got the wrong kind of angel going here. And you want to get away from that as fast as you can. Don't pray to angels. Prayer is not praying to an unnamed higher power. I know that's popular with some groups. They don't want to be offensive when they're trying to help people overcome some difficulties in their life. And so they pray to an unnamed higher power. But we know who the highest power of all is, don't we? And why fool around praying to some unknown when you can pray to the most powerful person that ever existed and has existed for eternity and will exist for eternity? Amen?
Amen.
So it's not praying to a higher power. Prayer is not praying to an idol of any kind, whether it's a picture, a figurine, a medallion, a totem pole, or even another saint. Praying to saints won't do you any good because they're just people. They don't have any power. They certainly don't have the power of God. It might make you feel good to unload your burdens on someone, but that's about it. They're not going to be able to change anything or help you overcome. This might make you feel good. So those are some things that you want to avoid in your prayer life. Don't get fooled by that. If somebody tries to get you to pray that way, you just kindly excuse yourself and move on. Don't try to debate with them because they probably aren't going to be into that anyway. Believers in Christ, those who are born again, pray only to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through and by the name of Jesus. That's how believers should pray. Typically, we pray to Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus, don't we, a lot of times, or some form of that name. We might say Lord, you know, or something like that. But typically, that's how we start out. But when we call out to Jesus, we're really calling out to the entire Godhead. Because they have unity. They are three in one. And so when you call on one, you get the entire Godhead to help you out. You get the power of God Almighty.
Amen.
You know, that's what we're getting. You know, God isn't a God that holds back. He gives you the full power, right? He loves you and He'll do that for you. Philippians 4:6, which Ryan brought up the other night, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. A supplication is asking for, you know, God's mercy for yourself and others, asking Him for something. So by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He doesn't hold back, so you don't hold back. You take everything that you comes across your mind that you might have to worry about or be anxious about. Don't do that. Just take it to Him right away. He wants you to do that. He gave Himself so you could do that. Jesus prayed. Well, let me go back a little bit. The best way to learn about the purpose of prayer, the purpose of prayer, is studying the example of Jesus during His earthly ministry. After all, He is our supreme example, is He not? Okay, so we can learn right from Him. Jesus prayed for Himself, and He prayed for others, and He prayed to commune with the Father. That's what you want to do. You want to commune with God. And like I said, if you commune with one, they'll all be getting it, right? They all work together. In John 17, we see Jesus' use of prayer. He not only prays in that chapter that the Father be glorified, which is what we should do to begin our prayers with. Pray glory to the Lord, to Lord God, the Father, because He deserves that, right? He came up with all this, so give Him the praise He deserves. But Jesus also prays in this chapter that the Father be glorified. So in verses 1 through 5, that's His prayer, that the Father be glorified. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. I'm just going to tell you what's in there, because these are like main points in your prayer. Now, far be it from me to tell you how to pray. Everybody prays their own way and a little bit different. But I'm just saying, make sure you give God glory, because He certainly deserves it. But Jesus also prays for His disciples in verses 9 through 19. Way back then, before He ever went to the cross, He lifts up His disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, you are. So you see, He prayed for each one of us way back in about A.D. 30 or so. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? And He also prayed for those who would believe in His disciples through their message. We fall into that category. But now, since we're disciples, other people fall into that category by what we share with them about Christ. They get saved. It's because we were faithful and we went out there and took the message. Amen?
Amen.
He prays for those in His message. He does that in verses 20 through 23. And that's pretty much the end of the chapter. So, giving God glory. Don't forget to do that. If you start out that way, you won't forget. Another part of the prayers of Jesus was to submit to the Father's will. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to submit to the will of the Father, the will of God. Amen? That's another aspect of the prayers of Jesus. And it's highlighted in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26:39, that's where you find that, right? In that chapter and verse, Jesus was preparing to go to the cross the next day. This is the evening before, right? And He takes His disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's heading out there. That was His usual place to get away and go pray. So He told them, hey, you guys settle down here and pray here. Well, I'm going to go up here a little farther, right? Did they pray with Him? No, they all fell asleep. They had a long, hard day. They needed the rest. So they just started sawing them off. But Jesus went a little farther on, and the Scripture says, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Don't do what I want done. Do what You want done. That should be part of our prayer, too. Don't do what I want done. Do what you want done because you know what's best. My vision is limited. It's limited. It's finite in this human body I have, right? He's not like that. His mind is infinite. His power is infinite. His knowledge is infinite. And he knows what's best for each and every one of us. So pray that you will give in and humble yourself to his will. With any request we have, just like Jesus, we must submit to God's will. If you're not willing to submit to God's will, you're going to have a tough time of it. Because you're going to be out there on your own trying to do your own thing. That gets hard. Ask him, because he has the greater purpose in mind. He knows the big picture. He has the big picture of our lives. So trust him with that. In addition to interceding for others, prayer is also a way to strengthen our relationship with God. Jesus set the example as he prayed to the Father throughout his earthly ministry. Remember, he always took time to go apart and pray with the Father and commune with him. Matthew 14:23 says, "And when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." That's what we today would call our quiet time. He went off to have his quiet time, right? "And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Now, alone there means that there were no other people around. It was just him and his Father communing together. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And so that's what we should do. We should get alone with just ourselves and the Lord and be in communication. That's what I mean when I'm saying commune. We should be in communication with him at that point. Those in relationships will, like Jesus and his Father, seek to communicate with each other. Just like if you have a mate, you have a spouse, you communicate, right? And if you have friends, you try to communicate. Well, it's the same with us. We have a friend in Jesus, don't we? Oh, he's much more than that, though, isn't he? So we need to be communicating with him. And prayer is our communication with God. That's how we communicate, through prayer. You probably knew that already, though. Ultimately, the main purpose of prayer is worship. It's worship. Just by the very fact that you would humble yourself to come to the Lord shows that you want to worship him. You trust him. You want to be with him, right? So, when we pray to the Lord, recognizing him for who he is and what he has done, it's an act of worship. We're giving him worship. In the Bible, there are many examples of prayer being an act of worship. You can look in there and find them. A great place to go is the book of Psalms. You'll find a lot of worship in the book of Psalms. In the Bible, there are many examples of that. So there's also in the New Testament examples. Here's one from the book of Romans, from the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says in chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid back? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." How we pray should reflect this purpose: worship. Worship. You could couple that with, I know there's been a lot of study lately of the fear of the Lord. Used in that sense, that's how you're showing the Lord fear. You're worshiping him. You recognize who he is, his power, his majesty. And so you're giving him that worship. Our focus should be on who God is, not on just our needs and our wants, right? Give him back some love. He's given you a lot, hasn't he? The model of prayer that Jesus gave the disciples in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, known as the Lord's Prayer, has all these elements. The first part includes praise and worship of God. Matthew 6, 9 says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed, set apart, above all, ready for that worship you're getting ready to give. And then the second part moves on to praying for God's will to be done. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, can you imagine what heaven's like? They don't do anything up there unless God gives it the okay. It's His will. They're all humbled to it, doing what He wants. Amen? Yes, it is. Then after this, there is supplication, making known needs for yourself and for others that you know, your loved ones and friends. Matthew 6:11 through 12 says, "Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So you're asking for the Lord's help. You're asking for His supply. You're asking that He will lift you up and take you through that day. Because that's all you really need to be concerned about. Today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, right? So get His help for today and make it through today. And then when you lay down at night, you can rest easy, knowing that tomorrow you can do it again. You ask Him again, He'll take care of it again, right? Because He loves you, and that's the kind of God He is. Finally, Jesus asks for strength to deal with temptation. Anybody here have a problem with temptation? Man, I'm telling you, you can't hardly blink your eyes. There's temptation for something in there. This world is full of it. And you know the old enemy, he knows that. He brings it in front of us as much as he can. He's got a line on what we like, what we shouldn't be having. Finally, he asked for strength to deal with that temptation. Matthew 6:13 says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Do not lead us into temptation. Do you ever imagine the Lord would do that? No, because He's not going to do that. Everything He does is good. Everything He does is good for you. He looks out for your good, even when you get grouchy because you wanted something different from what the good was that He gave you. You're thinking, that's not what I wanted, Lord. But He knows, no, that's what you need. That's the good you need. So that's what I'm giving you. And if you're aware of it, you'll start thanking Him for that. And then it says, "But deliver us from the evil one." He's done that, hasn't He? He gave His Son. The Lord gave His body, shed His blood, cleansed us, bought us back from the evil, got rid of the curse that was on us, got us ready to move forward in the Holy Spirit, abide by what He's telling us. So He's delivering us from the evil one all the time. The Holy Spirit's in there all the time. Can you just picture Him with His arm on your shoulder saying, let's go this way. It's not good that way. Let's just go over this way. Let's do this. Let's go here. Let's say this. Can you picture that? It helps me when I picture the Holy Spirit doing that. I like to picture that. So, Jesus modeled this prayer for His disciples. You're a disciple. You already said you were, right? So He modeled this prayer for you. So you could have a way to know, well, here's a way I could pray. I could look at it. And it shows all the reasons for prayer with the central focus of worship, thanking God for for the goodness he shows you. Amen? Prayer is an important part of the Christian life. I already said it's essential. And one's prayer life should be developed. It's not always easy. Sometimes you have to practice. You know, you see these musicians up on the stage, up there playing for the Lord, right? You think they just picked up their instruments and started in? No practice? No. They started out and they had to practice, learn where everything was, learn where all the notes were and everything. Practice. Practice is a good thing. It makes you better and better and better, right? Practice your prayer life. Practice it. Not only does prayer affect our lives, but it affects the lives of others. Because we're praying for others, right? You want to see results, don't you? So practice prayer. Get close to the Lord. Know His will. Pray in His will. Pray for the goodness He wants to give. Amen? But always remember, you're communicating with God Almighty. Don't take it lightly. Communicate with the Lord and grow in your relationship with Him. At the heart of prayer is an act of worship to the Lord. You're taking time away to humble yourself and give Him the glory He deserves. God's Word places an emphasis on the power and purpose of prayer, and we should train ourselves to be instant in prayer. I was talking to a man today, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Absolutely." And we stopped and prayed right then. There was a guy in the bed next to him. I don't know what he thought. I don't really care what he thought. I was hoping he would say, "Hey, could you come over here and pray for me too?" But he didn't. Be instant in prayer. Don't wait to pray. Remember, prayer includes praise and worship, asking God to help you do His will, supplication, that's petitioning for others, and getting God's leadership and deliverance. All those things are part of prayer. Colossians 4, 2 and 3 says this: "Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us," praying for others, "that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ." See, that's the ultimate prayer. Help us get the gospel out there. That was Paul asking the Colossian church to pray for him. Pray for him and his disciples. So I hope you're inspired to do a little investigating, do some practicing on your prayer life, nailing it down, getting alone with God, and giving Him that time of worship. Will you do it? Okay. You said you'd do it, now do it. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that Your Word coaches us and trains us how to do these things. And if we'll but take the time to read and meditate on it, we'll see how it's done. And then we can practice it, Lord. And we can feel really good about our conversations with You. We can look forward to hearing from You. We can look forward to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the things that we are trying to do for You, Lord. So guide us in our prayer life so that we will be guided through the actual doing of Your Word, Lord. We'll be doers of Your Word. Thank You for this time of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.